Good morning. Welcome to Seminary Day Chapel number 1, 2018. If there's any of you speaking this morning and you don't have the updated order of service, you can I'll leave these at the back as I get out of the way here, and you can ask me for one on the way by. Well, Seminary Day engagements were not the only thing going on over Reading Week. Is Joe Cha here? Is Sung Ho is here? They were in China while we were spread out across the country. And just to let you, were there other things going on? Other ministry happening that James is included in next week's order of service, so we'll save that. I want to give you honorable mentions. There were five gentlemen that I put the brakes on because of the weather last week, and they did not get to go. They did all the preparation, and some of them had the car packed and the keys in their hand, and my phone call came and said, the weather's just not good. We're going to hold off. And those were Andy Minjavar, John Baker, Russ Falk, Elijah Dela Cruz, and Jordan Bergen. So you can offer them your appreciation of their earnest preparation. I saw it happening. I know it happened, and they didn't get a chance to use it. I'm sure God will know where to put it to use later. And then Craig Westhaver and Russ and Lee, who's speaking this today, they're on for a second round down in South Calgary Community Church. That's coming up in May. We launched several new initiatives this year. We had a drama team paired with three speakers in one church service, and you're going to get a glimpse of what some of that was like in just a minute. We had, through Barry Nelson and Gary Smith's creativity, we had an entire worship team paired with three other speakers at Bow Valley Baptist Church. The whole service was basically our seminary and college right from the word go, and that was taking advantage of the fact that there's a number of students and graduates and faculty that go to Bow Valley, so we put them to work there. There was a full circle speaker. That's the term I coined for someone who started here as a student in seminary, graduated, has been called and accepted into the pastorate, is now pastoring, and is also an adjunct professor back here at the school where he graduated. So I sent him off for an interview and to preach in a church in South Calgary, and so we'll hear from him. And finally, we expanded our Seminary Day coverage to include a trip to Korea this year, and he spoke several times, and we'll hear from him next week. So you'll have to come both weeks to catch the full story of what happened on Seminary Day. Okay, the usual helps for those who are speaking. I'll be at the back, and I'll let you know when you're getting close to your four-minute time. And if you have forgotten where you are, I'll show you that. Our speakers are really good minding their time. They have a good sense of the clock, and I don't always get a chance to use those, so that's okay with me. Let's start off with that skit. David, would you come and bring your team up and let us know what happened at your church?
Thanks, Dr. Don. Yeah, so for Seminary Day, I was able to bring the largest contingency to a church. So myself and seven others had the privilege of going to South Winds Church in South Calgary, pastored by Pastor Bo Neal. It's also the church of the Booths and Dr. Blackaby. And so along with myself, and my name is David. I am David Ong. I'm the director of admissions. We had Alicia and Tamara, and we also had Veronica, Sarah, Nathan, Gelvi, and Jose. So some of us were on the worship team. Veronica shared with a Sunday school before the service, and then Tamara came to share her testimony. We had four of our people of our team did a skit, and also then for the sermon, Alicia and myself tag teamed a sermon on the Beatitudes. And so with that, we were kind of spread out through the whole service, and we just had a great time. But we're going to start by showing you a little bit of the skit that we did. Now, some of you may know what it's like to try to blend in, and maybe some of you have more of an issue of standing out. And but this is a skit that kind of shows what it looks like and how ridiculous it can look like if we all try to conform. So please enjoy Conformity.
Thank you.
Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect."
So I got to be part of this team that went to South Winds, and we had fun doing this skit. And for my part, I also shared a testimony of how God brought me to this school. And as I was reflecting on that, and even reflecting on our seminary day experience, I was reminded of how God brings people together for His purposes and His plans. And He brings people from all walks of life, from across the world, across Canada, to be part of a family here. And it's a really special thing. And so even serving in South Winds on Seminary Day, we were part of a team that came from across Canada as well. God brought us together for that. And then we joined a church that God had brought together. And it's just a privilege to be able to serve in God's family and be part of God's family. I think I'm just very thankful that God brings us together, and He's that unifying factor between us. We're part of His family, and He's our Lord, and so we serve Him. And that's really what blessed me through Seminary Day this year.
So I was part of the South Winds team as well, which was actually really cool because I got to go to South Winds last year and got to reconnect with some of the same people, and some of them actually remembered me being there. So that was really neat. Just what Tamara was saying about the unity of the body and God bringing people together was something that I really noticed as well, because we had the whole team from Toronto with us, which was really awesome, and I hadn't really gotten to know any of them, and I still don't feel like I know them really, really well, but it definitely started to bring us together as a team. And I really felt God unifying us that way as well, especially since we were all doing so many different things, and yet in the end, the service just came together so well. So as David said, he and I kind of tag-teamed a message, and Bo had given us the option of anything from Matthew 5 or 6. So we figured, well, there's a lot in there. So we're thinking, well, if we're both going to do this, let's find something that we can kind of meld together where I'll take a passage and then he'll take the passage right after or something like that. So I ended up speaking on the Beatitudes, and then he took the Salt and Light passage right after, which ended up working really, really well. And so one of the main things that I shared was how this idea of the good life, the blessed life that the world has, is so empty apart from Christ. And then David went on to share about how when we allow God to form our lives and to form our hearts into His version of blessedness and His version of peace and joy, that is what will be attractive to the world, and that is what will attract them to Him. So that went really well. And then after the service, I had a privilege of talking with a gentleman there, and he was sharing, he actually shared his testimony with me, which was really cool. So he came up to me and said, you know, what you shared about the good life being empty apart from God, that is so true. So he was sharing that he's in his 60s and he's only been saved a couple years, and how he had everything before he came to Christ, and yet it was all empty. And then through the witness of a friend and a pastor out in Vancouver, he came to know the Lord. And that really struck me because I grew up in a Christian home, and so I've known these truths my whole life. And so I can speak to something like that and say, yes, I know this is true because this is what the Bible says. And I know that the world out there is empty. I can see it, but I haven't experienced it the same way that he had. He had gone through most of his adult life experiencing that emptiness apart from Christ. And so for him to come and share that with me and said, no, that is true. I know it because I've experienced it. That was really encouraging to me. And it helped me to see that God is doing stuff out there as well. God is bringing people to Himself. God is using the witness of His people to draw the world in and to show them the emptiness apart from Him. So that was something that really, really spoke to me. I really enjoyed this experience. It was a blessing for all of us. So thanks.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Holly. I had the privilege and opportunity to go to Calgary Chinese Baptist Church, which is just south of the airport, to their English-speaking congregation, which is good for me, because otherwise I wouldn't have understood a thing. And it was really, really neat to go fellowship with a church where I was the minority, and it was great. I felt like I was back in Vancouver, actually, which was really cool. But one of the things that I noticed with God moving, with the weather and everything like that, like, we had to cancel a worship practice with the worship team on Friday night because the weather was just so bad. But it came together on Sunday, and it was like we could communicate in a way that was like, all right, this is good. Went really well. People seem to be enthusiastic about the seminary, which is always good. And we were able to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, which was really cool. One of the things that I felt like God was challenging me on, he was going, okay, now that you're the minority, are you listening? What do they have to say to teach you? Because you may have grown up in this very Western culture, but what do they have to say that teaches you? And I feel like he was asking me, okay, how do you work towards racial reconciliation with people that are different than you, who have come to Christ, who are now your brothers and sisters? You may not have done the horrible things that happened in BC where they were forced into internment camps to build the railroad that's over out that way, but you need to work towards that racial reconciliation because now they're your brothers and sisters. So I guess my challenge to you, if you are white like me, is how do we do that? What does it look like? What does listening to our brothers and sisters look like? I guess that would be what I have to share.
Hi, my name is Caleb. I had the opportunity of sharing at Bow Valley Church about 2 weeks ago, I guess now. It was a really cool opportunity for me. I wasn't able to get to go travel due to some other travel plans I had that week. But it was really cool. My dad came up to me and he asked me if I wanted to talk at Bow Valley. And then he said, I've never heard you speak before. And so, I said yes, and it was a really sweet opportunity because it was a kind of a triple tag team with Carson and Christian, and I think at first it was a little interesting because my dad came up to me and he asked me, he's like, well, I kind of want you to speak about love. Specifically, I want you to speak about what that looks like dating at an early time in a dating relationship. And so, I was kind of taken back by that. I was like, it's only been 3 months, Dad. So I thought about it for a couple days. I talked to Miranda, and she was cool with it, / said good luck. But it ended up working out really, really well. The verse that I shared from, here, I'll read it to you. It came out of 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. It said, flee from youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out for a pure heart. And it was just really cool to me as a time where I was really convicted just by the idea of, well, if the Bible doesn't have a clear definition of dating, what does it really look like? And I came to the conclusion that it was purity. And after I just kind of talked with my dad, he said, that's kind of a message that the church needs to hear, especially young people and people that are even single and people that are in a young relationship. So it was a great experience for me. It was pretty funny because I guess now I get to talk about Miranda a little bit more. So it's such an awesome experience. And I would say, even if you don't get to travel for seminary day, definitely reach out to some churches that are local and see if you can do that. But yeah, thank you guys for the opportunity.
Well, good morning. My name is Carson, and Caleb kind of gave me a good segue. I got to share at Bow Valley as well. I know what you're thinking. That's how desperate they were, is they asked Caleb and I to come down there and share about love. But I assure you that Bow Valley Church, they're doing great. There's a lot of good stuff happening there. So yeah, like Caleb, his dad came, approached me and asked if I could share something about love, and specifically with my relationship with Tiana, who is my fiance, and we're getting married in May. So yeah, that's good. And but when he asked me to share, I knew right away that I wanted to share about something a little different, so I kind of copped out, didn't talk about myself. I talked about my grandparents and their relationship and what I thought their legacy really was, because I thought that was better than anything that I had to really share at the moment. But I can give you a bit of an update on what's happening at the church, because I help there with youth as well, so I think I can talk with you just a little bit about that and something cool that maybe you guys can pray for if you feel led to. But they've started. So first of all, Dan Spelsey is the youth pastor there, and he's this guy here. I don't know if he's posing for that or not, but he looks good either way. But he's a great leader, great pastor there. He really loves the kids. He's been a great example for me. But one thing that they're doing with the youth group is kind of in Calgary and then surrounding area. They're trying to equip youth to take the Youth Alpha program into schools. So there's a lot of schools that are doing that, and there's several here in Cochrane that they're doing that. So they're kind of trying to find kids in the youth group who are ready and willing to do this. And I think they've started. I haven't heard how it's gone or yet anything yet, because you know the youth leaders, they can't take it in, but the students are the ones who are able to do that. So I'm curious to see what the pushback is or what happens there. But I think that's something that could use a lot of prayer, but I think it could also be very effective if that's something that takes off and the students are really buy into it and are supported by people like us who can pray for them. So yeah, that's all that I really have to share with you guys. So thanks for listening.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm not a student. Some of those who've spoken have been my students. And one of my friends among the student body is Clint Langelaar. He's right now has a pretty tough assignment. He's doing what's called a replant in Nanton, just south of the Metroplex. And it's been it's been a challenge for him. But in order for him to go on seminary day, he went to Prince Edward Island. And for him to do that, he needed someone to preach for him at his church, so I went. The weather was bad the day before, but by the time Melanie and I got on the road Sunday morning, all the roads, at least going south, were clear right up until we got to Nanton, and all of a sudden there was a front there. The temperature dropped 5 degrees. It started snowing. It's like Narnia, you know, always winter, never Christmas. So they have, their town has a low budget, and so they don't plow their streets. And so there was, probably 8 inches of churned snow on all of the streets. We almost got stuck driving there. But we went to the church, and snow had kept many people home. So by the time I got up to preach, there were 15 seniors in the congregation. That you could see that as being a negative, but the people that were there, there's a lesson in that. Kind of the larger principle is that they demonstrate long obedience in the same direction. They were there because they are going to be there, rain or shine, snow or no snow, because it's the habit of their life to worship together before the living God. It's their habit of life to spend time in God's word, to worship together, to gather together. That's a real lesson for me, a reminder. I don't consider myself old yet, but other people consider me old. And there is a sense in which that really is an attitude of mind. If I ever start feeling old, then probably my wife will just suck it up and press on, dude. You know, we've got years to go. Long obedience in the same direction. And so when I preached on John 15, or John 14, verse 15 through 24, and it over and over again says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. The one who keeps my commandments is the one who loves me." And it's when you love me, then the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, making it possible for you to obey. And that word love, in every case in that passage where it's used, it's the root is agape. And so it's, it's self-sacrificing love. I was, probably preaching to the choir. They didn't necessarily need to have a sermon about, loving God and obeying, because if anyone in that church, usually they run 40 to 50. And Clint's done a good job of beginning to rebuild that church from almost dying. But this group, the other thing that struck me is we always need a reminder. They came not because they were hearing something for the very first time. I'm sure that if I talked to each one of those people in the congregation, they had read John 14 over and over. They've heard many sermons on John 14. They have read and meditated on John 14 in their quiet time. The oldest lady in the congregation was Mary, and she's probably about 85. The median age was probably 72 or 73, and the youngest person there was Carol, and she's in her 60s. So these are people that have spent lots of time in God's Word. But when I stood to preach, the stewardship is that we need to be reminded of some fundamentals about walking with God. So even though I was just a fill-in, I wasn't really going out on seminary day, although there is a sense in which that little church has not been loved in a long time. They've basically been ignored as they declined and came close to, the death of the organization. And so one of the things I did by going there was to show them that there are people who care about what God is doing through them to their community. And there are people who are backing them up as they go through the challenge of trying to minister in their community out of a sense of obligation to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's it was meaningful to me. It was great to be able to go there and meet these people and be encouraged by them after I preached. There were many warm words of appreciation, and that's always affirming. But one of the things that we do, on seminary day, maybe it's not the primary thing, but one of the things we do is we show that in the larger Christian community, they're not lost. There are people who know they exist. There are people that care for them whenever they're feeling maybe uncared for. God has his eye on them. He has his hand on them, and he has a future for them.
Hello. If you don't know who I am, my name is Lee Jansen. I'm a college student here at the school. This seminary day, I had the opportunity to go to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, to 15-5 Church, pastored by Lou Leventhal, who a few of you might know quite well. While I was there, I got to lead worship. I got to share a bit with the children, do a bit of a Sunday school, and I got to share a bit about what the school is all about. So I had a bit of a full plate, but it was a lot of fun. The church itself, it's a very young church, a very unique dynamic that I haven't really seen before. Lots of believers who have been believers for a long time, and lots of believers who have only been believers for a month or two, maybe a year. And those believers who are new to the faith have been bringing their spouses who aren't believers and their partners who aren't believers to the church. And those people that they're bringing are serving in the setup and cleanup just as much, if not more, than the people who have been believers for a long time. They don't seem to be there against their will because their husband dragged them to church. It seems to be like they appreciated being there, and they felt appreciated while they were there. The church sets up in a school gym, in an elementary school, and so there's a lot to do on a Sunday morning when it comes to setup for sound and you know, the projector for the lyrics and anything that just needed doing. And all of these non-Christians who don't believe had this desire to just be there and serve. Maybe they didn't know it, but I could see it there. And that was really cool to see, just how involved they were and how in sync they were with those who were already believers. Another cool thing I noticed was just that the believers that had been believers for a long time acted as kind of mentors, and very intentionally acted as mentors for these new believers and for their spouses. I was told that in the home groups, the believers who have been Christians for a long time kind of lead the groups, and everyone else kind of participates as well. But just that intentional leadership was really cool to see and to hear about while I was there. One really cool thing I noticed too was just the children's ministry they had established. They have regular Sunday school times. They have children's musicals for Christmas and Easter. But something that I appreciated the most in seeing was just the love for the children from the congregation. Typically, children, we like to say that we appreciate them and that we love them in our church, but I don't know how often we actually intentionally pour into their lives. And I could just see the from the seniors, especially in the congregation, just how much they love the children there. And that was just a beautiful thing to see, just the care for these children, the love for these children. The seniors really wanted to pour into their lives, and I love to see that. If I could describe the church in one word, it would just have to be unity. This church just had this sense of everyone's on the same page as the body of Christ. Funny enough, I got to speak on Ephesians 5:21, which talks about submitting to each other under Christ, out of reverence for Christ. And that was just amazing to sink that in with this church that already had nearly perfected that. It was just beautiful to see how they worked together so easily. The seniors in the church didn't have any issues with the music. The young people didn't have issues with the seniors being there. They didn't have issues with the children. It was just everyone was a believer or not a believer, and they were welcomed in to this wonderful community. It was really a blessing to me to be able to serve there this last, or 2 weeks ago, and I hope to go back just to see how these new believers continue to grow. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Christian. As Caleb and Carson mentioned, I was part of that triple team at Bow Valley. And then the following week, I was able to go to Fort McMurray. So overall, I preached three different times. So there's a lot to say. Dr. Don, you might be able to use that little card on me. So I'm going to try to be as brief as possible in 4 minutes. I'll start off with Bow Valley. It was nice to have Pastor Gary Smith invite me to that. And I really appreciated, I guess, the theme that he was trying to do. And by asking Caleb and then Carson and myself, he kind of said, you know, I kind of want to show this progression of a relationship. Someone that's, you know, in a fresh new relationship, someone that's engaged, and the old guy like yourself that's been married for a while. So that was great. I was able to share with the congregation how I recently celebrated my 15-year wedding anniversary. And the passage that I chose was at the end of Romans 8, when it talks about the love of God, how nothing could separate us from that. And I was able to talk about that passage and say how, you know, through my marriage, through 15 years of marriage, through thick and thin, it's been because of God's faithfulness that I attribute the success to my marriage. And it's just, you know, been really evident in my life how that inseparable love of God was the foundation of what has kept my marriage together. So that was a real blessing, sharing that with Bow Valley. The following week, I went to Fort McMurray. I met a wonderful man by the name of Pastor Clay Hilton. And that was just mind-blowing. Originally, I was there for Saturday to lead a Bible study in Spanish with some Spanishmen. And I was really excited about that because some of you may know I'm part of a Latino church plant here in Cochrane. So I thought, hey, this is amazing. You know, we get to use the fact that I speak Spanish and get to, you know, be a good influence and encouragement to the Spanish community there. However, the night before, I got a phone call from Pastor Clay, and he kind of said, you know what, a lot of the guys are out of town, so we're going to have to cancel that that Bible study, but we'll do something else. So I was a little disappointed with that. However, looking back, I see how God had different plans and pretty amazing plans. As soon as I got picked up from the airport, Pastor Clay said, we're just going to go out and do some visitations. Just a couple elderly men from the congregation that they haven't been feeling too well, and you know, I just want to go visit them, see how they're doing. So we did just that, and it was great to just encourage these men, pray for them. The second one was the real interesting one. He was an older man, and at the end when we asked him, well, what can we pray for you about? He said, you know, I feel like there's not a connection between me and Jesus, and, you know, I want to have a connection with Jesus. Can you pray for that? And, you know, right away we thought, man, this is just an amazing opportunity to share the gospel with him. And we ended up sharing the gospel with him for a long time and had a really good discussion with him. And by the end, he, you know, the man just kind of admitted and said, you know, like, I think the Holy Spirit needs to convict me. Please pray for that. So we did that. And I came out feeling so encouraged and so pumped. And shortly after that, we went to the hospital to visit two men from the church. And the second man that we visited had said, he was there because of cancer, and he said, well, you know, there was a guy that was in here. I got to meet him, and he's in worse shape than I am. He just got moved around the corner. Can you go please pray for him as well? Just tell him I sent you. So we did that. We went over, and his wife was there. This is a complete stranger. We've never met him before. He's never met us before, and we just said to him, hey, you know, Greg from around the corner, you know, he's a friend of ours from church, and he asked us to come pray for you. And you know, and he was in tears and basically said, yeah, you know, that'd be great. So we got to pray with him and his wife. And, you know, it was a very emotional experience to just be a participant of God's love with a complete stranger. So by the end of that night, I was really exhausted. But at the same time, I was very excited to just see how, number one, I got to see how Pastor Clay really showed a shepherd's heart. You know, we spent, you know, most of the day just visiting people, praying for them, encouraging them. And that was just such a wonderful example. And it really spoke to me. And as well, I felt really pumped just, you know, like I said, being able to pray for people and to just encourage them. And especially people that I've never met before. The next day, we went to, I had to preach twice. And the one thing that I kind of wanted to highlight was for Pastor Clay, through some strange circumstance, he has two different churches. So for the second church group, he said to me, yeah, make sure it's a different sermon because some people from the first church go to the second one. So I really struggled because I had asked for prayer from a lot of the students here a week before just for God to show me what he wanted me to pray about. And I felt God answer that, and he told me to pray to preach about serving. And the day of, I just felt like, you know, maybe I should preach something else, something more impacting. But I thought, you know what? This is what God laid on my heart. This is what I'm going to preach about. So when I was done preaching, the pastor got up and said to the congregation, what does Oklahoma, Winnipeg, and Honduras have in common? And I thought this was really weird. I'm from Honduras, so I knew it had to do with me. And he said, this is the third preacher that has preached about this exact same topic. You know, three different preachers that have never met each other, and I think God is speaking this message to us. So that was an amazing experience for me because, you know, in my human nature, I kind of thought, you know, maybe this is not what I should preach about, but I saw how that's exactly what God wanted me to preach about because that's the message that he was bringing to that church. So it was just neat seeing how a lot of my fellow students here were part of praying for God to put that into my heart. I was able to preach on that, which is something that two other complete strangers that I've never met preached about as well. And it's just amazing to see how God is at work through his body throughout the whole world. So yeah, just an amazing experience, unforgettable. Thank you, everyone. I thank the seminary for giving me the privilege to be a part of that. And yeah, I just want to encourage you with that. Thank you.
I have cards too, so I'll keep it short. First of all, let me say welcome to the Providence class who's with us this week. Thanks for joining us in chapel this morning. I am thrilled at the smiles on the face of everybody who stood up here, the love in your heart for the Church of the Canadian National Baptist Convention, the way that you were open in your posture to learn from the Lord, and how he clearly used those circumstances to teach you something, and how sometimes it's completely different than what you thought you would learn. Like I would say to my kids, understand when I say I'm proud of you, it's not a bragging so much as just I'm so proud of you for going and for representing our school to these churches, for making sure pastors and churches know that we see them and that we love them, and we know that they sacrifice in order for us to have a place like this where we can train and where we can step out for a minute and just soak in everything that God has for us so that we can be better ministers in the future. So thank you for going. I know as many great stories as you've heard this morning. You're going to hear more again next week. I want to share with you this passage because Paul's talking to the Philippians about continual obedience to the Lord. He's talking about working out your salvation. And then chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "For it's God who's working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose." Any good thing that has happened is of the Lord. Any good thing that happens in this school is of the Lord. It's him who fills our hearts with the yearning to see God do something amazing. And this year, I actually was speaking in a very small church where I've spoken before. It was the first year where I was given the privilege of just taking time to pray for all of you as you went. Normally, I'm preaching. This time, I preached. But really, they allowed me to also lead in prayer as you guys were going. That was sweet. And then to get to start bringing reports to people, this is what God's accomplished. So thank you for going. I'd love to close in prayer. Father, thank you for the student body that you're knitting together. And even in this room, the reminder of the larger community that we're a part of as Providence has joined us today. Thank you for the way you dispatch people across this country. And next week we'll hear how you dispatched one of our students across an ocean. Thank you for the generosity of a donor many years ago that enables us to send students. Thank you for the willingness of administration and staff and faculty and students to bear witness to your goodness, and that you do give us the desire, the yearning to see you do good works, and the joy that we get when we see you do it. Thank you in Jesus' name, amen.